sitting on this bulldozer, like, in a construction site. So I'm sitting there, barbecue sauce on my titties, and I'm like, what the f***?
Warm it all up! Everything you got! Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to the Sports Antidote, episode number 49, Ricky and Robinson. I'm your host, Danny Belts. We have so much to cover this week in less than an hour. I don't know how we're going to do it. Domino's has driverless delivery. We're going to talk about Pilar getting plunked by a web. I get cuffed at Whole Foods. The Daily Show's ratings are hysterical. The NBA playoffs. The Babylon Bee has the funniest skit ever. Bro Exotic comes on the show and he's got a guest. Look out. Tommy Bench on Bill Gates getting canceled and getting paid not to work. I'm going to be comparing Branch Rickey and Jackie Robinson to what it's like to be a black conservative these days. It ain't easy. Again, how are we going to get through this all? White bitch of the week. Pretty obvious one coming from a politician in the Northwest. Shocker. His second appearance, which will qualify him for the awards banquet at the end of the year for White Bitch of the Year. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's all coming down. It's all going down today on the Sports Antidote. Where to begin? I don't even know where to begin. Domino's drive. This, have you seen this? Domino's is now showing advertisements of this little cuck car with no driver that comes and delivers your pizza in some oven that... It's like it's something from the Jetsons or something. It's going to be terrible. This is the biggest waste of money. This is not only a waste of money, you're taking away somebody's job who probably needs this delivery gig. And now you're going to, you think people are going to order Domino's now because you're going woke environmental? No, you're canceled. So now I am no longer ordering Domino's. They're canceled. Canceled. Out of here. What type of world do we live in when... This dude, Pilar, if you didn't see it, the Atlanta Braves, big right-hander, smokes this dude, Pilar, for the Mets right in the face. Like, there's blood everywhere. His nose gets cracked. He's got all these nasal fractures and everything. It's like a hit by a train. 93, 94 mile an hour two-seamer just got away from him. It was a horrid scene. Twitter exploded. I was watching the game live. I'm sitting here in Birmingham where there's a bunch of Braves fans, so the game's on television at the place I was at. Whole place reacted simultaneously, just, oh, it was horrid. And then what happens that night later on? I'm scrolling through Twitter, and there's this hashtag that I should have written down trending. And I clicked it. Big mistake for me. And it's all these blue checkmark cucks that are like, it's actually harder for Webb than it is Pilar. And I'm like, are you? I trolled like 1,000 people. You mean to tell me it's harder on the guy that threw the baseball than the guy that got cracked in the nose with a mid-90s fastball? This is the society we live in? I mean, this is stupider than DK Metcalf. Good enough for ninth place. Third prize is you fired. What the? You, obviously, no one's ever been hit by a fastball. I got hit in the head with something in the mid-80s, my senior year, and it sucked. And I had it way worse than the guy that threw it. Oh, trust me. And I was targeted, by the way, too. But I was talking so much shit. I probably deserved it. There's no doubt I deserved it. But whatever. It's all part of the game. So, yeah. Just to clear this up, it's way worse for Pilar than it is for Webb. I mean, what are you talking about? I'm at Whole Foods yesterday. Whole Foods continues to cuck. All right? I like to try to eat healthy, especially when I'm on the road. All right? So I like to make a big salad and then kind of eat it throughout the day as I'm driving around. The food does not go bad. I don't want to hear it. And it's better than going to all these restaurants, whatever. So I go to make a salad. I mean, Ruby Tuesday's brought their salad bar back, so surely Whole Foods would. I mean, all the stuff's been lifted. COVID's magically gone because of President Biden. And I go there and I see that there's no salad bar, but there is a hot bar. And it's all boxed off. So you have to walk around the whole thing and come in from like where the pizzas are, you know? And there's a bunch of people on the hotline bar. This is the biggest virtue signal. This is so stupid. Whole Foods will cut off their nose to spite their face. They could be making money right now, and they're like, no, we're only having the hot. So I asked, can I see a manager? Manager comes over. Sir, how come we don't have a salad bar? Well, we're trying to limit the amount of people that come eat. I was like, there's 20 people on the hot bar. I said, do you mean to tell me that you can get COVID by eating this macaroni, or you can't get COVID by eating this macaroni and meatloaf, but yet you can get it by eating beets and broccoli and some lettuce? No, I don't think I appreciate you. Yeah, I don't appreciate. Canceled. Walked out of there. Whole Foods, you're with Domino's. You're canceled. What on earth? How stupid can you be to look at me and say, yeah, we're trying to limit. Now you're making more people go to a more condensed area. So stupid. Just idiots. Almost as stupid as Trevor Noah. Segway. My God, I actually endured a little bit of his show. And I tell you, it is about as dumb as it got. It lasted about 5 minutes. They play The Office all night on Tuesday, all evening on Tuesdays on Comedy Central. And the drop-off in ratings when Noah comes on is pathetic. And he's got such a great setup. They're setting him up with the most popular sitcom since Seinfeld, nearly. And you have all this viewership because now you can't watch it on Wokeflix, so you have to watch it on Comedy Central. And Noah's ratings are still trash. They're awful. Down 37% when he took over, which is kind of expected because you think they'd kind of give him a shot. They did. 37%. I don't know. Lowest ever in 2020 when you have people that all they can do is watch television. And all you're doing is making fun of Trump and you still can't get ratings? Go join CNN, whose ratings are right there with your show. Terrible. The NBA, what a great, even for a guy that doesn't watch it, a great story for the NBA. The New York Knicks are back in the playoffs. A lot of good stories in the NBA. Now, Steph Curry, I feel, should probably be the MVP, basically carrying Golden State into the playoffs in a maniacally talented West Conference. It's ridiculous how stacked it is, even more so than it has been in the past. And I have the Knicks coming out of this series to beat the Hawks. You should too. Even money. We love the Knicks. And I have the Knicks coming out of the West at 30, the East at 35-1. Go ahead, laugh it up now. Bro Exotic's right. Kyrie Irving is in the Middle East right now. He's doing this thing with the Thunderdome or the. I don't want to get ahead of myself there, but he told me what he was going to talk about, and I just almost fell out of my chair. The Thunderdome. We want Knicks to come out of the East big time. It's going to be, I think that they can do it. Thibodeau, great coach, love him. Always have. The Knicks play real basketball. They're fun to watch. And another team that's been fun to watch, even when I have watched the NBA, has been the Phoenix Suns. And what a story. Chris Paul gets reunited with Monty Williams. They were together in New Orleans for a long time. Chris Paul, say what you want about him. Everywhere he goes, he makes the team better. He made Houston better, despite James Harden. He goes to Oklahoma City. Name me three players on that team outside of Chris Paul. You probably couldn't. He brings them to the playoffs. They almost advanced to the second round. Took the Rockets all the way to Game 7. Now he goes to Phoenix, who was the hottest team in the NBA that missed the bubble last year. So, but still, no one expected them to basically be the one seed. I mean, on the heels of the Jazz the entire season. Unbelievable, and rightfully so. Monty Williams wins Coach of the Year. I agree, and good for him. Second place should have been Thibodeau. Third prize is you're fired. Okay, here we go. So if you didn't know, the Jackie Robinson story is pretty amazing. It's quite incredible, as a matter of fact. I don't even know where to begin here as I look at my notes, but it's just, I saw the movie 42. It was okay, but I've read a lot. There's a lot of stories you can read about kind of what happened by sports writers that actually did this during that time, and I feel that to be a lot more accurate and way better depiction of what the temperature was that time. In our country, very, very sad and pathetic as African Americans and people of color could go lose their life overseas fighting tyrannical Japan and Germany, but yet came back and still had to use different bathrooms, different water fountains, back of the bus, all this ridiculous insanity. And they couldn't even play professional sports. And that's what's why the Negro Leagues came along. Now, I know even saying that word, I don't know if it's acceptable or not. I mean, it's what it was. It's not the full N-word. But that's what it was. That's how it's documented in Wikipedia and everything. So I don't feel I can get canceled for saying that. Oh, I probably can. We'll try not to say it a lot, but that's where Jackie Robinson was playing. There was a plethora of African-Americans playing in that league that were really good. And the logic there, though, was that they couldn't play, you know, in the same team. We get it. And then the whites also thought, like, yeah, well, they're not that good. And it's like, well, yeah, they are. And there's a very influential person in baseball in 1945 that thought so as well. And, boy, you talk about courage. Both of these men. Both of them. And it started with Branch Rickey. Branch Rickey was the general manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers. The most prevalent team in Major League Baseball at the time. And still, the Dodgers have always been the Dodgers, whether they've been in Brooklyn or L.A. They're the Dodgers. He was an excellent player. He served bravely in war as well and had the open mind to understand this is ridiculous. There are some really good players over there. Oh, and by the way, there is no way that there should be two separate leagues because of two separate colors. Everybody called him crazy. And I'll tell you what, this is a fireable offense at the time. A lot of people did not like what he was doing because they knew that they wouldn't admit how much talent was over in those leagues. They knew it, but they didn't want to admit it. So whenever someone's really scared of something typically, or they don't want something, there's a reason why. There's a reason why the Democrats are flooding to Arizona, right? The far leftists are rolling over to Arizona to stop this recount. There's a reason why, because they're worried. They have to be. There's something there they don't want you to see. Some pretty influential people are there too now trying to bust this up, but they're not. Sorry. If we're going to see this all the way through. So a lot of people don't want them to come over. You could say it's because of racism. A lot of it was because of fear, because white people are going to start losing their jobs, and rightfully so. Best man for the job, right? So in August of 1945, Branch Rickey signed Jackie Robinson to a minor league contract to play in the AAA affiliate under the Brooklyn Dodgers, and it went over like the Hindenburg. He had to sit that manager down and say, if you mismanage him, you're fired. They were going to bench him. The players were giving him all kinds of crap. The opposition, his own teammates, for crying out loud. His own teammates. It was pathetic. Makes me wince. It's so stupid. I understand the mentalities were different back then, but I'm almost positive if I would have been alive back then, I'd have been like, no. No. If I would have been on that team, I'd have been like, does he give us a better chance to win? And that was Branch Rickey's philosophy. Does he give us a better chance to win? He was tearing up the other league. Tearing it up. He could do everything. He could play four positions. Third, second, short. He even played first as a righty. What? Dude could play anywhere. He could hit for power and average. He could steal bases. He was a five-tool player. He was just really good at baseball. And thank God Branch Rickey saw that. Signed him to the AAA contract. And then in 1947 of September, he's called up to officially now. And I know people say he wasn't the first. They're going to say it was Fleetwood Walker. I get it. You know, they're the baseball purists. But let's be honest. This technique, move that aside. He was a great player as well. But come on. Let's have an adult conversation here. No one's more ignorant and pathetic than baseball purists, historians, sports writers with the ridiculous, he's not going to the Hall of Fame. Yeah, Curt Schilling shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I have a bridge in Brooklyn I'll sell you for $5. Get over yourself. It's absurd. Anyway, he balled out in 1947. He killed it. Stats were, I think he batted .320 his first year. Drove in a ton of runs. Wasn't the most powerful hitter. He only hit about 130-something home runs in his 10-year tenure. We'll get to that. But found himself a doubles machine. Led the majors in doubles several times. We'll get to his accolades in a minute. But Branch Rickey then opened the door for a lot of other people of color to come in this league. And it scared the hell out of all the white people because they knew people are going to be start losing their jobs. These dudes can play. If they're as good as this guy or even near as good or better, we're in big trouble. And they were right because there were people better than Jackie Robinson. You ever heard of Willie Mays? We'll get to that. Anyway, Branch Rickey doubles down and in 1950 signs Jackie Robinson to the biggest contract in the history of the Brooklyn Dodger organization, $35,000 a year, which is more than some people make now, and is the equivalent to about $600,000. Now, I know that you're saying, well, people make millions and millions. Well, it's a little different back then as pro athletes. Some of them still had to have jobs in the offseason, but not Jackie Robinson. He was paid that money not because he was a draw for people of color in the stands and not because he was making a statement. It was because he was the best player nearly in Major League Baseball. You want to know why? Because he won the MVP the year prior. It's that simple. It's just that simple. Larry Doby. He was the second one. He also would go to the Hall of Fame along with Monty. He went Irvin, obviously Willie Mays, Willard, Home Run Brown, Satchel Paige. These are Hall of Famers that came up in that era. And it broke the barrier that should have been broken a long time ago. That's some serious courage under fire. And it's overlooked. I still think the bizarre nature of how this all evolved. And those two guys really just did the incredible, as far as I'm concerned, dealing with what they had to do and such. And then performing. And then putting out the stats, the gold gloves. He was the best second baseman almost ever. And then he'd go play short, third, first. Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's only here because he's black. Yeah, okay. He's here because he belongs here, because he's better than you, and he makes our team better. What's your point? But I'm glad you asked. Glad you asked. I'm not going to say anything you don't already know, but boy, it nearly takes as much courage now to be an outspoken black conservative, particularly if you have a platform or if you are in politics in general. Tim Scott, a very respectable and a great man, not because he's a Republican, just because he's a great man, just had enough of this label that the Republican Party is a bunch of racists and that there's systemic racism within this society. And he's proof. He basically says he's proof that there's not. He grew up with, of course, there's racism that he witnessed, but it's not systematic. It's different. Or institutional, whatever the hell that means. Let's just throw out these ridiculous catchphrases. Tim Scott got to where he is not because he's black. He got to where he is not because he's an quote-unquote Uncle Tim. He got there because he belongs there, much like Jackie Robinson. He didn't have somebody sign him. He had to get there himself. There's no Branch Rickey for Tim Scott. And he gets blasted by the very party and the very people that think that they are not the racist, that they're doing all the things that are helping people of color. When in all actuality, it's the exact opposite. The far left media cannot be more ridiculously racist. What is more racist than telling someone how to think? What could be more racist than that? Oh, I don't agree with your point of view. Well, you're an idiot because you're black, so you have to. That's basically what they're all saying. And no one hates the black conservative more than the far white leftist media idiot. And Don Lemon, who said that white men are the most dangerous thing in America. Yet he sleeps next to a white man every single night. Idiot. What a joke. How ridiculous is it to be Candace Owens? And man, is she hot. Good Lord. I'm sorry. She's not ugly. Candace Owens teams up with Charlie Kirk now. She's also doing work with Ben Shapiro. She has her own podcast. She has her own show. Wildly intelligent. A borderline historian. Reads like 5 books a week. She's a machine. But of course, she is used to be on the left. Now she's far. She's right. Okay, married a white guy. No, now it's real bad. And you had a kid. Look out. She got into that beef with Cardi B. She has more to deal with every single day than you and I do in a year when it comes to safety and just people degrading the hell out of you. And they're all basically white leftists. It is absurd. They don't get called out. Her Twitter, some of the stuff that she gets hit on Twitter probably gets 100 people banned an hour It is some serious hate. Who doesn't get talked about, though? Candace Owens has so much courage, much like Tim Scott. Candace Owens is the modern-day Jackie Robinson of a non... She's going to run for office one day. I'll donate money to her campaign. Oh, yeah. Easily. I mean, it happens in politics. It happens outside of politics with pundits and speakers like her. It even happens in sports. Sage Steele, ESPN. She married a white guy, too. They hate that. Sage Steele questioned systemic racism a long time ago and questioned Jemele Hill for being absurd. And boy, did she get nailed. She actually got suspended. She sued ESPN. ESPN realized they're in big trouble. So they brought her back. They settled. Of course, she came back. Then they had a cookout the next week, a big elaborate cookout for all the employees in which she was not invited. How racist is that? How unbelievably absurd is that? Because she doesn't have the same opinion as you? Maybe it's good to have a bunch of different opinions. Maybe that's good. A counterpoint is always good. It was keep the earth turning, is different opinions. We all thought the same way. It really wouldn't work out. Seriously, it wouldn't. There has to be a yin to a yang. I've said that 1,000 times on here. It's nothing you don't know. But the fact that far-left liberals hate black conservatives is eye-opening. And I'll tell you, they're scared. They're scared. Just like the white people were scared of Jackie Robinson. Now the white people now are scared of the modern-day Jackie Robinsons that are voting the other way. Trump got 13% of the black vote. Doesn't seem like a lot. It's a lot. And of course, you go on, that's not true. He got the most black vote ever from a Republican. And he got almost doubled from what he got in 2016. That's scary. Oh, but Biden won. Sure, yeah. That is a scary, scary statistic. Now, does that mean, I hate to use the word, some people say black people are waking up. I'm like, I refuse to say that. That's ridiculous. I think some people now are just seeing Trump want to do a lot for the black community. Look at the guy on Ice Cube. Influential people of color. Kanye West, Ice Cube. Lil Wayne. And the like. Just Ice Cube was almost canceled, but he's uncancelable. And all he did was say, no, listen to what he's saying. This does not sound racist. He basically said Trump wants to end this generational wealth gap between white people and black people by putting money in black communities for business owners, free money to get businesses up and rolling, to potentially pass that down generationally, which apparently there's a big gap here in that. What if that's the most unracist thing ever? And Ice Cube recognized that and said, you need to listen to this guy because I don't hear the other side talking about that. No. And Ice Cube even said, what they want to do is welfare. Keep you down. This guy wants to get you up. And that's coming out of words out of a dude from the NWA. You kidding me? That scares the hell out of people. Ice Cube, modern day Jackie Robinson, by doing what he did. He caught so much hell, but then people forgot. Just like Kanye, you can't cancel these two. The platform and following are massive. Forget it. 41% of the black vote in Texas in 2016, Trump got 47% in Texas in 2020. That scares the hell out of people. 34% of the Latino vote 2016 in Florida, 45% of the Latino vote in Florida in 2020. But Biden won. Yeah, sure. More women voted for Trump. This is scary for the other side, not for me. I bet people at one point thought the Jackie Robinson thing was a fluke. I bet they did. I bet they thought, nah, they all can't play like him. Well, they were wrong. And what you're seeing right now is not a fluke. It's a happening. And not the M. Night Shyamalan movie. Wait till 2024. Wait till these midterms. Oh, yeah. You'll see. If this election is a fair fight, forget about it. The Babylon Bee. So people play other people's clips all the time. I want to let you know. The Babylon Bee, if you don't know, it's hysterical. It's one of the funniest satire, right-leaning satire. It's the antithesis of like what The Onion was. And these guys are absolutely hilarious. And they did this bit where Sesame Street, first it's Grover, and then it's Oscar the Grouch, where basically they blame everything, all hate crimes, on a character called White Todd. And there's two quick, I'll play the two quick ones. The Grover one is hilarious, but the Oscar the Grouch one almost made me swerve off the road when I was listening to this. So props to Babylon Bee, but this is great.
It's bad when a person hurts another person because of the color of their skin. And no matter what the skin color of the attacker is, it's Todd's fault.
Oh man.
Good one, Todd.
That's hysterical. And then they play this one with Elmo talking to Oscar the Grouch.
They're homeless people?
That's a good question, Elmo.
Is it a complicated mix of factors ranging from poor government infrastructure along with individual responsibility?
No, it's because of White Todd.
Boy, oh boy, I'm sorry.
Good going, Todd.
No, it's because of White Todd. You should go watch that. I only played you the two illustrations there, but you should go, or the skits, you should go back and listen to the commentary between those two. It's it is funny. So anyway, hope today's show wasn't too preachy, but you will enjoy Bro Exotics for sure. Guest appearance coming from somebody, I think you know who it is. Tommy Bench, I'm sure will be solid. And what am I forgetting here? Let's see. I wasn't too preachy. You know you enjoyed it. Oh, yes. White bitch of the week.
White bitch, give me some chon-chon.
Stay away from me.
Give me some chon-chon.
Chingatomane,
give me some chon-chon.
Okay.
Ted Wheeler, mayor of Portland. Welcome back. Welcome back, brother. You cuck. This dude is... the definition of the whack job far left. He's left of the governor of the state, Kate Brown. How is that possible? So he doubles down, defunds the police again, and then they poll the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, run two separate polls in Portland to residents asking if they want to defund the police. What do you think they said? 75% said no, and they're all woke. How dumb can you get? And it's not because he's a liberal Democrat. It's because he's a far leftist whack job. Sylvester Turner is a liberal Democrat mayor of Houston. Why don't we see what happens in Portland happening in Houston? Because he's a reasonable guy that understands the police are good and we need them. And Houstonians realize that too. And I lived in Houston and it's woken. Not as woken as Dallas. Certainly not Austin. But there's just an example right there. You don't have to be nuts. Most of these people aren't. These people, I gotta be careful. I'm talking about liberal Democrats. Most of them aren't out of whack. But the ones that are far left like Ted Wheeler, yeah, they are. And it's insane. And your own woke people don't want to defund the police. You are White Bitch of the Week, and I hereby nominate you to be White Bitch of the Year at the awards banquet at the end of the year. Can't wait to have that when you're not a front runner, but you are nominated, and you're about plus 500. So you're up there. You got a good chance to win this race, Teddy. Now put your wife on the phone. The Onion Ring, where even fiction is reality. Everything on here is a fact. With guest host, Bro Exotic, Super Woke. Here we go with the Onion Ring. Guest host, Bro Exotic. What's going on, pal?
What's going on, bro? Bro Exotic, founder of Me Too, Omega. What's going on, bro?
Sick. Nothing, man, but we have someone else on this call. You were able to hustle up here. You made some calls. You sold it, and lo and behold, you did it. We have the woke Pope on the Sports Antidote. Woke Pope, what's going on, bro?
Hello, gentlemen.
thanks for jumping on, brother. So the purpose of what woke Pope has decided to come on. First of all, I just want to apologize I will officially apologize now. I'll kiss the ring for asking what gender your child was. Did you happen to hear that? I am sorry about that, man. Your child hasn't chosen yet, from what I've heard.
It may shock you to hear this, Daniel, but I am not a regular listener of this program. My child will pick its gender when it is of age, and it will choose that age along with its gender.
I'm glad to hear that. I wouldn't expect anything less. You have an amazing voice. It's kind of like a Hannibal Lecter / Longshanks from Braveheart. All right, man, that's already you had me fascinated and intrigued on your background and everything, but I know you don't want to divulge too much information. Where did you go to school, though? I know Bro Exotic went to Columbia and majored in some whack-ass shit. What did you go to school in the Ivy League as well?
I took my schooling at the University of Berkeley.
Of course. Wow. The West Coast woke. Gets pretty serious out there. Bro Exotic, why don't you go ahead and take us away right now? I think you have this just ridiculous Kyrie's taking another personal day, Kyrie Irving.
apparently Kyrie Irving has said he's going to take a personal day, day one of the playoffs, because he was he's too caught up in these other affairs like Israel and Palestine right now. So he decided that, you know, it's crazy. Now he just joined the 50-40-90 club, meaning that he has at least 50% from the field, 40% from three, and 90% from the foul line. He was really upset that his free throw percentage at 92.2 is higher than the Iron Dome of Israel, which is hovering around 90%. So Israel has now hired him as a consultant for the Iron Dome as they play against the finals against Palestine.
That explains a lot. Woke Pope, do you have a take on this? Were you involved in any of this, or is this just below you? I'm just curious, genuinely curious.
Well, to be quite honest, yes, all of this is quite below me. But I will say that Kyrie could possibly be the next woke prophet. He is both entirely ignorant of the subjects he speaks of, but entirely outraged by their reality. So, in many ways, I see much of myself in him.
I mean, you couldn't have hit that one any harder, man. That's a 400-yard drive down the middle of the fairway.
That's right, bro.
Perfect sit. But, Bro Exotic, do you have a problem with him maybe anointing him as the next prophet? As you're kind of the heir apparent, I thought. Is there an issue here? Is some internal struggle or no?
Like I said, dude, the woke pope is woken. The woke pope will be spoken.
I need not your approval, young one.
Is he talking to you or me?
My bad, woke pope. He's talking to me.
Oh, wow. I think you just got reprimanded.
My bad, bro.
Dude.
My bad, bro.
Don't get disciplined by the woke pope. That would not go over well. Well, I will say, woke pope, I don't want to take too much of your time. I know there's a lot you have to do out there. Is there a chance down the road, and I'm not trying to trump Bro Exotic here, no pun intended, but he said I couldn't attend the Church of Woke unless I took the woke communion, did the whole thing. Can I come in as like a guest, like an observer without doing all that, or is that just necessary to come
My
in?
My son, you are far, far away from qualifying for that great honor, my dear boy. I'm sorry, but the answer is quite simply no.
Oh, okay.
That's right,
well, I guess I have to take that. Well, you were right, Bro Exotic. I'm sorry to try to go around you there, but looks like that's what we call a rejection. But that's okay. That's okay. Because your acceptance, your unacceptance, I accept. So that's fine. Hopefully we can have you back on the show. Bro Exotic, anything you want to close with? I know that your Kyrie take is wild, but it does make perfect sense. He does think the earth is flat, and he is absolutely insane. I think the woke pope nailed exactly what's going on there. Anything you want to close with?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at Bro Exotic. It's B-R-E-A-U-X Exotic, and no joke, stay woke, bro.
No closing thoughts? Okay, you don't have to have any. Woke pope, how about you? Anything you may want to wrap up with here, or are you just done? I don't know how to – I've never interviewed you, so I don't know kind of where to go with this.
I have nothing left to say.
Well, have fun in church next Tuesday. Hope you had it. Wait, you guys have church tonight, right?
The woke church is always in session, Daniel.
Well, I guess in this session, I learned another lesson. Gentlemen, thanks for jumping on the Sports Antidote. Brogues out of good luck out there with the Iron Dome defense and Kyrie's free throw percentage. A brilliant observation. The woke Pope, thanks for jumping on the Sports Antidote.
Good evening.
All right. Cheers, bro.
The woke Pope? Bro Exotic didn't even say anything. clearly, the woke Pope is not only driving this bus, but you can almost tell, and it sounds like a cross between Hannibal Lecter and Longshanks from Braveheart. He even put me in my place. And I can't go to the woke church on Tuesday. I'm going to work on him. I'll have him back in a few weeks. I thought that went really well. Oh, yeah. We'll continue to peel the onion back on the Church of Woke. Anyway, that was amazing. Let's get to Tommy Bench.
Tommy Bench joins the Sports Antidote episode number 49. What's going on there, Sport?
Not much, Squirt. How are you doing?
Did you call me Squirt?
Had to think of something new and creative here. Jeez. Trying to be on the cutting edge. You know how we are.
Yeah, that's a good one. Huh, Squirt. Well, I guess I would fit the role for that. Chubby Squirt right now, but I'm going to get back to the intermittent things and just eat fish and eggs. But that aside, hey, funny story before we get into this. I forgot to tell you as we were doing our little 10-minute prep. There was nothing on television last night, so I was forced to watch The Office, which is one of our favorite shows, you and I and most people that are normal.
It's great.
We did not like the fact that Steve Carell was all about donating money to get criminals out of jail to go back to riot.
Do not like that. Michael Scott never would have done that.
Never.
Michael Scott loved America too much. Michael Scarn, he wouldn't abide. He wouldn't abide.
He would go to Portland and start capping fools. But I did execute one of the funniest lines, and it made me spit out. I was had a little nightcap, shocker, and I'm looking at, there's wine on the bed right now. Because yesterday, he's like, Toby, what are you good at? What are you good at? Besides divorce. we could go do a whole thing.
That is a perfect segue into this evening's first topic of discussion.
It is.
So,
go ahead.
I'm sure by now, many of our faithful listeners, especially those of the male persuasion, and I mean the biological, chromosomological, whatever the word is, and self-identifying male persuasion, have probably seen memes on Facebook showing a picture of Bezos and Bill Gates and says, you know, if the two richest men in the world couldn't keep their wives happy, what hope do you have, right? Little bit of humor there. I'm sure most people are aware Jeff Bezos got divorced about a year ago. And over the past couple of weeks, or about a few weeks ago, news broke that Bill and Melinda Gates were going to be ending their marriage, right? So, okay, that's always the first thing that breaks. Well, what's next? And what I have found interesting over the past couple of weeks, there's been this pretty steady drip, drip, drip of unflattering stories about Bill Gates. And when I say unflattering, I don't feel like nobody's really come out and accused of criminal conduct. Okay, it hasn't been the Andrew Cuomo, you know, long list of women claiming inappropriate conduct. But it's just been this drip, you know, first they dredged up this old story that apparently he was allowed to spend one weekend a year with his ex-girlfriend at her beach house in North Carolina. And Bill's wife was all in on this, I don't know if was fine with it, but was aware of this. Then some stories started coming out that, you know, apparently these computer nerds back in the 80s, when things were kind of getting hot and they were making lots of money, used to have these, you know, raucous stripper fueled sex parties and things like that. So very much not the image of a bunch of nerds coding, but, you know, some rather raucous behavior. Well, okay, that's, but then more stories started coming out. In fact, one recently came out that in 2019 or 2020, the Microsoft board, I believe it was 2019, it was pre-pandemic, Microsoft board of directors had decided and was taking actions to remove Bill Gates from the board because it was becoming apparent to them, or it was known to them, that he was having an inappropriate relationship with a Microsoft employee. Okay, because that could raise some red flags and that could cause trouble on the board if somebody's susceptible to blackmail and that sort of thing. And then the most recent kind of drip, drip, drip is revelations that his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, the guy who we all know did not in fact kill himself in August of 2020. I think it was August of 2020. Apparently their relationship was much deeper and their contact and interactions were much more frequent than Bill Gates had represented previously. And again, there's reporting that this is one of the most contentious issues that really upset Melinda Gates. There's also reporting that the family is almost exclusively siding with Melinda Gates. It's just this steady drip, drip, drip of not good news for Bill Gates. So it got me wondering, I feel like this is an effort to kind of soft cancel somebody. And in fact, this was confirmed when just this evening I went to one of my favorite websites that I think I've plugged many times, Real Clear Politics. I like it because it's an aggregation site, pulls in articles from the far left, the far right, the center, the moderate right, moderate left, and it just presents them without any commentary. It just says, you know, here's the headline and here's the link. And there was a Vox article, and the headline was
boo. You know,
why? Well, but this is telling because Vox is the staunch left wing of political ideology. And it said, you know, it's time to be done with Bill Gates or something. It was something, the headline was something like that. Now, let's pause for a second. Let's talk about who Bill Gates is and what he's been doing. Okay, founder of Microsoft. We all know that. Okay, he's made billions and billions of dollars. The guy, I'm sure there's some ridiculous statistic, like he could probably give away $1 million an hour and not run out of money if all he did was stick his current holdings in a low yield interest savings account, right? I'm sure there's some absurd statistic like that. But furthermore, beyond that, you have not had a bigger proponent for a lot of left-wing causes than Bill Gates.
Bill Gates has donated hundreds of millions.
Hundreds of millions.
The stupidest shit. I hate most of it. He's super woke. He's one
right.
of them.
He's woke. He's one of them. So, and more impressively from their viewpoint, it's not just that he cuts checks, but he's one of those rich guys who can pressure other rich guys into donating money. Because again, when you're rich, you don't ever try to do things with your own money. It's all about getting other people, even business ventures. I guarantee you, he doesn't pony up the capital. He ponies up as few dollars as possible and then either convinces other investors, hey, if I'm doing it and I'm the richest guy in the world, you should donate. You should put your money into this venture. Or he leverages it and gets banks to front the other 60, 70, 80, 90%. So that's kind of a side point. But you know, green initiatives, vaccination initiatives in Africa. He's huge on being pro-abortion, especially in the third world. I mean, you name a left-wing cause, and I'll bet you he's donated money to it. I'm sure he's no proponent of gun ownership. In fact, I think I've heard him speak out against it, but I don't. But you know, his pet projects really are, you know, abortion in the third world. Okay, really, really kind of discouraging women from having kids as frequently as they do in the third world. Which okay, I kind of understand if they space them out, it might be better. But they want to do it through abortion and the green things. I mean, he is just a lunatic about the green things. That's probably the things he's most obsessed with. So why? Why do they want to cancel him? And all I can think of, the only possible explanation I can come up with, and this, you know, I'll get my favorite tinfoil hat out. He must have said no to the wrong group or wrong person. Somebody must have come to him hat in hand. Oh, Mr. Gates, you know, we understand you're a friend of the oppressed or whoever. And, you know, we'd like a donation. And again, for whatever reason, he must have said, nah. No, I'm not on board with that, or no, nah, that's not really my thing. I like to focus on other things. And so I'd love to, because it's almost coordinated. This looks too much like a coordinated effort. I'd love to know why the drip, drip, drip has started.
It's and all my, coordinated.
What is my theory is he denied a donation to the wrong person or wrong group, and he is currently living with the consequences.
Well, personally, I don't really care about Bill Gates. And yeah, I mean, you know, we get it, extremely smart, extremely rich, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, his causes, some of these causes, he was involved in an environmental cause. And I I freaking couldn't find it, and I was Googling that about 20 minutes before I called you, or you got on here. I couldn't find it, but we'll talk about it next week when I find it. It was one of these outrageous things in the Amazon or something where basically he's like Captain Anti-Fossil Fuel, and he really believes that, like, eventually, you know, like, green energy, regardless of how expensive green energy is, and you and I both know it's wildly expensive and it's going to cost millions of people their jobs. I mean, that's just you don't even need to be political to know that. But yeah, he's out of his tree. So anyway, I'm getting aggravated. That's enough Bill Gates here. But it's an interesting point. They are canceling. They eat their own, dude. They're hyenas, man. It doesn't matter. They do. You know, it doesn't matter. And this is great. I think it's funny. I like being ringside and watching the tag team partners just beat each other up at one point. It's great.
So moving on to the economic forefront, you and I have both been traveling for professional reasons this week, and we were chit-chatting, and both of us kind of offered up the same observation almost at the same exact moment, which is, hey, air travel seems to be getting back to normal. By the way, one of the numbers I keep track of on my little COVID spreadsheet, where I keep track of a lot of numbers just to have a sense of what's going on without having to get news or opinion, just look at the numbers. I also have a sheet that tracks the TSA number of people who've processed through a TSA checkpoint, and I compare the numbers to what the numbers were in 2019. And the way the TSA presents the information, they normalize for day of the week. So it's always a Sunday compared to a Sunday from 2 years ago. So it's, you know, you don't get that kind of day-to-day mismatch. Interestingly, we're approaching very regularly 1.7 to 1.8 million people checking through TSA lines every day. This time, this year in 2019, we were at about anywhere from 2.2 to 2.6 million. So we're getting back to capacity, and you and I both observed, man, airports, you know, it's been nice traveling the last 6 to 9 months. Things weren't as crowded, but now, you know, it's starting to feel like 2019, and in some cases worse. But the really telling thing, every place I see in an airport that would likely be supported by lower wage earning individuals, entry level employees, I think is the correct term, the lines are long as all get out. You just want a cup of coffee from Starbucks, that line's 20, 30 p.m. And they've always had long lines, but now it's 20, 30 people deep. You just want to go into the little 7-Eleven or the little newsstand shop that they still have at the airport and get a bottle of water, you could be facing line 8, 10 people deep with one worker behind the counter. And I think this is indicative and it's illustrative of what you've been hearing pundits say, which is, look, a lot of businesses are having a hard time getting people to come back because of the increased unemployment benefits, the extension of various unemployment benefits. It's not COVID hesitancy. Nobody is not going back to work because they're afraid of getting COVID, because, by the way, you could have gotten a vaccine by now. If you are an adult American here today, you could have already had your vaccine by now. Because if you were one of those people who it was like a religious experience for you, you could have signed up a long time ago and you would have gotten it. If you're one of those people who's a little like, oh, wait and see, you still could have at least had the first shot by now.
Dude, so you could have easily had your first shot. And to add to your point, yeah, I saw that the same thing in the airport I was in, MSY, and then in Atlanta.
Right.
Hartsfield, the busiest airport, I believe, in the world. Understaffed everywhere. I think they're managed by Delaware North. Most airports are. That's their big thing, Delaware North. But I don't know what the wage differential would be there. I don't know. I just know that people just maybe they don't mind making a little less to not go to work as opposed to making a little more. If you're an hourly employee making $10 an hour, it makes no sense for you to come back to work if you can make whatever it is. Everybody knows that. But I was at a diner today grabbing a quick lunch right outside of Birmingham, and it was out of the owner of the GM. This dude's running around. I mean, he's doing everything. He's in, like, he's not in a suit, he's a diner, but he clearly is one of the managers or higher up. And I mean, this place is packed. Right. And there was two servers on the floor. I spent a lot of time in the industry. I'm looking at this. They probably each had 20 table sections in my prime. There's no way I even could have handled that. Now it's pretty quick. And there's guys that were 10 times better than me that they couldn't probably do that. And, like, everything's backed up. And I looked at them. I guarantee you there's two people in the kitchen. And I look at them, and I was like, hey, man, like, I used to be in the industry. You mind if I step in and swing, you know, jump in the game? And he almost said, like, yeah. He goes, I wish. and then just got back to like cleaning ketchup off some table. And it's just like, this is the indicative nature of what's happening, is that you're letting businesses open back up and then you're thrashing them.
Right.
They're going to have to give shit service. And I just hope these patrons realize that's the case. They're just understaffed. Right. It's just that.
No, I think some people will be understanding. I hope most people are understanding. And I think this will lead to a larger and broader narrative and circumstances in the economy where, yes, these red, you know, Republican governors in more conservative states are, you know, for example, Ron DeSantis, I believe, reinstated the work seeking requirement. So in the past, one of the requirements when you're on unemployment is you have to demonstrate that you're attempting to find a job. That was one of the things that was suspended during COVID. Plus, there was the additional, at one point, I think it was as much as $400 a week additional on top of normal unemployment. Then in the last bill, it got cut to $300. And now states have the opportunity to say no. And I believe Florida's either already said no, or he's set an end date to it sooner than when the federal benefit runs out. So you have these red states that are saying, look, we can't keep incentivizing people to not work. And in some ways I blame the individuals. In some ways I don't. Look, if somebody says, I'm going to hand you more money to do nothing and you go get a little cash-based side hustle, who am I to fault you for putting that money in your pocket? Okay. But is the people responsible for these programs and things that are put in place, I think it's inherent on you, the politicians and policymakers, to do what's best overall. So I think you're going to start seeing this divergence between, you know, red states and blue states, and in policies put forth, not just because they're red or blue, but because of the difference in policies that will be put forth. So that'll be very interesting. But speaking of red state governance, I just got an alert this evening, a news alert, that the governor of Texas has decided that after June 4th, no public entity can require anyone to wear masks, and that includes schools. And I think the way he did it is about the best way to do it. And here's what I was talking to Mrs. Bench about, because very shortly after that, the county school district that we live in sent out an email and said, after June 1st, we're not going to require anybody to wear masks. It's smart for two ways. It's a way to rip the Band-Aid off, but at the same time, give people time. And you might be thinking, well, geez, Bench, that's kind of opposites. How can you rip the Band-Aid off? The Band-Aid off because he declared a definitive date. It wasn't like, well, you know, school, summer, this metric of measuring. He just said, here's the date, June 4th. Okay, that's the Band-Aid ripping off. The giving people time is... he did it after the end of the school year. So for all intents and purposes, it will not take into effect for another 3 months. And look, in another 3 months, a couple of things are going to happen. Cases will continue to go down through the combination of the max vaccination rollout, which has largely been successful and effective. Okay, I know some people won't like to hear that, but it's had a positive effect thus far. Or people who don't want to get vaccinated will probably get COVID and survive and be fine and have natural immunity. So by August, you're really going to be at a scenario where COVID is not going to be community spread. It's really not going to be, we've long known, it's not going to put elementary school age kids at risk. And frankly, teachers will have already had the chance to get a vaccine, as the CDC has made clear in their flip-flopping, flailing around guidance. If you've had the vaccine, you really don't have much to worry about in terms of contracting and getting serious disease. So that being said, I kind of think Greg Abbott is trying to play a little game to steal some of Ron DeSantis' thunder for the 2024 Republican nomination.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I actually noticed that. And what they're having is what we'll call an unwoke off. As the left has their woke offs to see who can go more crazy to the left, Abbott is now one-upping DeSantis, and soon I think one of them's going to say, oh, yeah, well, no more masks in hospitals. No more masks during surgery.
Or I think one of them's eventually going to say, you have to get COVID. Yeah. No more. The only acceptable, you have to get COVID. State mandate, go get COVID. Find a way. You have to. It will be interesting to see some of the smaller, lesser known and lower profile Republican governors if they follow suit. And I think they will. And again, you'll just continue to have this divergence. I mean, I'm here in Florida traveling for work. You know, nobody wears a mask outside because everybody realizes that's stupid. That's just stupid. Okay. And in restaurants, you know, half the people, even just walking to and from their seats. I mean, it's more and more people are just going to start getting used to, all right, we're done with the shenanigans. Because look, if you're really concerned about it, go get a vaccine. Have your religious experience, get a vaccine. That's fine. It's a free country. I don't yell at people to do or not do it. It's your choice. But the people, it's we've all seen the meme, I'm sure, on Facebook. It shows the guy sweating. He's got two buttons to press. One is wear my mask to show my virtue. The other is take my mask off to show I've been vaccinated. I mean, really, they've kind of painted the ultra woke in this country have painted themselves into a corner of what's more virtuous, continuing to wear the mask or taking it off to show that I've been vaccinated. I can't wait. They're gonna come up with something beyond t-shirts, like special tags or wristband. You know what it'll be? It'll be those stupid, you know, Lance Armstrong, Livestrong things.
Scars.
Right. Except they'll make them thicker, more obnoxious, and it'll say something like vaccinated. And that's how they'll identify each other.
And you know what? That's when I'll get the one that says unvaccinated. Right. I'll go ahead and advertise my unvirtue signaling of not being vaccinated. I saw somebody outside of Birmingham today at a red light in a Subaru with a mask on. And I just,
and a coexist bumper sticker.
I didn't see the coexist. I guarantee you it was there. When I lived in Colorado, that was like a prereq in Boulder. But first of all, my question is I understand there are some hills in Birmingham. It does not snow here. Subarus are more applicable for places with weather, you know, they're four wheels, right, whatever. And I get it. Everybody in Colorado has one. My boy Boston Dan out there works at a dealership in New Hampshire. Party in a box. You remember Boston Dan?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course you do. Yeah, just add two Budweisers, instant party. But I think that the Subaru in Alabama with the mask on was up there with the dude in Miami that was on his moped. His little motorcycle, not quite a moped. I don't know what you call it. Right. It wasn't a Harley. It wasn't a moped. Wasn't a dirt bike. Who was sitting at a red light next to me without a helmet, wearing a mask. You remember that one? Yeah. No, that happened. I sat there and saw it. I just couldn't get a picture of it because it happened too quick. But yeah, the virtue signaling, I think I do kind of agree with you. But I still think the people that are far left and the people that are still, I think you'll never see them not wear masks.
I think there will be a portion of the population somewhere in the 10 to 15% range who will just continue to wear masks forever, regardless of whether they're sick or not. And you know what they'll bring up? They'll bring up, well, you know, in Asian countries, stop, time out. Because I've traveled to Asian countries quite a bit for my work. And in fact, I was in Japan in October of 2019. So while this was spreading in Wuhan, none of us knew about it, I was in Japan, and I did see a few people here and there wearing masks. It had nothing to do with COVID-19. But the reason they do that in Asian countries, ask any person who lives there, is they do it, they're kind of signaling, I'm feeling unwell, so I'm doing this to not spread it to you. Healthy people in Asian countries don't wear masks. They don't, okay? So the idea that these people who are vaccinated and healthy, right? Because the other thing we're told is that if you're vaccinated, your case is going to be asymptomatic and you will not spread it. So then there's really no reason for you to be wearing a mask at all. There is no scientific justification that once you're vaccinated for you to wear a mask, period. But it will be interesting to see the rationale that will get used to help justify some of those people into continuing that behavior.
Wow, it'll be ridiculous. But anyway, we got to get going. Anything you want to close on?
No, I'm good here. Good talk.
All right. Thanks for jumping on the Sports Antidote there, Tommy Bench. And we'll have you on next week.
All right. Oh, out here.
By the way, be sure and catch the Woke Pope, who was recorded prior to you with Bro Exotic. I will let you know this. It did not disappoint.
I heard it was a good one. Looking forward to it.
All right, Chief. We'll see you. Thanks for joining the Sports Antidote, episode 49, Ricky and Robinson. Thanks to Bro Exotic and Tommy Bench for hopping on. Thanks for you listening, Antidotians. Be sure and rate, subscribe, and review. Follow us on Instagram at the Sports Antidote. Follow me at Danny_Belts
with a Z. Got a good one for you next week as well. Keep it real, Anadotians.